Hey friends, welcome to episode 554 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. If you are a regular listener of the show, viewer of the show, you know that once a month I do a non-wrestling podcast. I started that earlier in 2025 just to kind of change things up a little bit, get different perspectives, different questions, different conversations going, and hopefully eventually one day adding a guest element to this part of the podcast every week. I'm not in my usual spot once again. Last week we were on vacation in Alabama, Gulf Shores area, Orange Beach. This week I find myself on the road once again. This time my wife and I are in Nashville. She is at a work event and I am sitting in the hotel room, and I thought I've got some time to kill, so I'm going to go ahead and do that by recording a podcast. A couple of weeks ago I had posted this on Facebook, and I had a handful, more than a handful of questions, just a few people ask, but there are several questions, really good questions. So I appreciate the folks who did weigh in and ask questions. If you ever have a question for the pod, just throw it out there. Again, I'm going to do these types of podcasts once a month because I love doing content creation. It is really what I enjoy doing outside of when I am not working for work. I do like to work on my own brand and building that. That's part of the reason why I'm wearing the hamburger shirt for this week's episode. This is part of the Hunsberger Chronicles, which if you have not checked out, go to the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube channel. Check out my TikTok. I post the links also on my Facebook and Twitter accounts. But it is part of the game. It's part of the fun. Developed the Hunsberger Chronicles about a year ago. The first episode I ever did was not good, never made the light of day. And I've had some stinkers here and there, lighting issues or audio issues. I have invested in a microphone. Really can't take a light into a restaurant. So I try to find areas in the restaurant that are lit a little better nowadays, just because I do really, truly enjoy doing those hamburger reviews and have a lot from the last couple of weeks. Like I said, we've been on the road. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to have more from outside of Southern Illinois. Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi have all made the list, and we've gotten burgers at multiple places. So probably through the month of July and maybe even into early August, there will be on the road, or the Hunsberger Chronicles road trip, if you will. So check those out, again on YouTube or on TikTok. And it's just been a lot of fun doing those. Poor Decisions, the beer review version. I kind of tweaked that and modified that through the years as well. But Poor Decisions is kind of what I've settled on, and I've been doing more of those videos also on YouTube and TikTok. I'm going to get started with some questions here. And for those who may be stumbling upon this podcast for the first time, you don't know who I am, what I do, or any of that kind of stuff. This is a primarily a wrestling podcast, but started 10 years ago. But like I said earlier, kind of introducing other elements, other aspects of my life and of my branding that I like to incorporate. I'm a former TV news anchor, spent 22 years anchoring and reporting the news. Most recently in Southern Illinois for 15 years, I was the morning co-anchor at WSIL TV. I've done podcasts on that. And that's actually kind of part of the inspiration for this. About 6 years ago, though, I left the TV news business and went into marketing. And I am currently, as of June 2025, the executive director of public information and marketing at Shawnee Community College in rural Southern Illinois. It's in Olin, Illinois, but we have campuses in several different spots. But anyway, that's kind of giving you a background of who I am, what I do, father of three, husband. For 27 years, well, 28 years, celebrated 28th just earlier this month as I'm recording this in June. So that's kind of where I'm at on a personal level. And now it's time to get into your questions. And again, I thank the folks that did ask. Jamie Woodworth starts us off with a fun question. Since there is just one of me, am I an endangered species or a limited edition? I'd say a limited edition. I think we're all unique in that way. I appreciate that. Ursula Imbrick, who I met through Stride Pro Wrestling. Jamie, I also met through Stride Pro Wrestling. So my wrestling peeps are coming out and asking questions that are non-wrestling related, which I appreciate. Ursula asks, which job do you think you took to the easiest? Was it what you are doing now or the news? It's a great question. I would say what I took to the easiest was the marketing side of things. When I got into TV news, I was 23, 24 years old. So I was young, hadn't had a whole lot of experience or opportunities. And so it was kind of like walking into a firestorm and figuring it out. And really, my first job in Alabama, in Florence, Alabama, was all about kind of learning. And I view that time as almost like being in graduate school or getting that secondary part of your degree. I learned so much that I didn't learn in college because I didn't go to college to be a journalist. I did study the mass media stuff and camera videography and that kind of stuff. But the reporting side of it, I had taken some newspaper reporting classes, but never done it as a TV journalist. So that was the learning curve, and it took a long time. And even when I moved on to Indiana, I continued to learn and grow. And at WSIL, learning, growing, developing, and becoming, easing into becoming a better journalist as a result of that. And I know wasn't, anything to write home about, but I did enjoy the opportunities, and it all prepared me for the job that I do now, which is marketing. There were elements from the TV days, the writing specifically, the working on a deadline, the time management. I took all of that and brought it into the marketing experiences. And I had a great mentor in Whitney Roberts at Idea Creative Marketing. She helped me so much along the way. And the 3.5 years that I spent working for her prepared me for the job that I do now. And without that experience and that mentorship, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today, with the executive director role that I have in Shawnee Community College. So I am forever grateful for those opportunities that I experienced with her. Let's get to Ken Johnson, who I met through WSIL. He was a police dispatcher at the time in Murfreesboro, and we had him on the news one morning, probably 20 years ago now, or close to it. And we've stayed in touch ever since. Of course, with social media, that's much easier to do. Ken asks, what would be your dream news story that you would like to cover? Back in the day, I was kind of, especially in Indiana, I was known as Kicker Kevin, which the kicker is the last story of a newscast. That's back when I was just reporting. I wasn't doing any anchoring. And so Kicker Kevin went out and did a lot of feature stories. I also covered Purdue University and did that side of things. But a lot of times, a guy set up a webcam. This was way back when, because a duck had made a nest on his front porch and laid eggs. And that was my story for the day. So I went and did that story, and it actually got picked up on the national news feed and sent out. But anyway, those were the kinds of stories I like doing. It's more the fun, not so sad or depressing. And there was always obviously those sad stories or criminal stories. I did a lot of health news when I moved to Southern Illinois. And you meet people along the way telling their story, and the positivity side of it was always fun, but there were those times where it was heartbreaking, it was depressing, it was sad, the outcomes of those stories. So I'm saying all that to say my dream news story, really, as I matured in the anchor desk or at the anchor desk, doing the breaking news was always exhilarating. And even going out into the field and doing that. But I became kind of old and crotchety and didn't want to leave anymore. I wanted others to experience that and stay and kind of direct traffic, if you will. Because sometimes that's what it's like, is when you're at the desk and you're, someone's feeding you information, letting you know what's happening and where we're going with the story in that case. And we had a few instances of that. Most famously, if you will, was the Leap Day tornado in February 2012. Emily Eddington, my co-anchor, and I were anchoring that morning, along with Clint Misselhorn, who was doing the weather. And we ended up being on the air for 7 hours. Her and I, Emily and I, ended up being on air for 7 hours that day. Clint stayed and did more as they brought in more news people. But that early initial part of it was all breaking, and we were trying to kind of figure our way through it. And with the guidance of our producer at the time, Weston White, Ross Weiss was out there on the floor. Jose Orellana was directing. We just had a great team, and I probably have left people out, and I apologize for that. But news director Mike Snuffer had come in and started giving us some guidance along the way as well. Mandy Robertson was at the news desk printing off updates and stuff. We had reporter Stephanie Tierpak specifically. I remember coming in early that day. I believe Emily Finnegan was there. We had just a handful of very talented journalists who were out in the field covering this, seeing it firsthand, and then bringing it back to us. And so that was a very big day. And I've talked about this day repeatedly, it's a story that we have already covered, but that's the kind of news from the anchor desk that I enjoyed being a part of, is that breaking, kind of updating people, letting them know what's going on in those situations, and then trying to be human throughout all of that. What would be your dream interview? I've interviewed a lot of great people, mostly local folks here in Southern Illinois. Or, wherever the market was that I was at. I enjoyed doing celebrity interviews. I got a chance one time to interview Kelsey Grammer and John Mahoney. I think that John Mahoney from Frasier. Marion Ross visited Southern Illinois. I got to interview her. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. I like doing the celebrity interviews. In fact, at one time in my career, I thought I was going to be more of an entertainment reporter. Obviously, Southern Illinois didn't have a market for that. There was one time right after I started at WSIL that ABC News had sent out errantly, it turned out, an email to all the affiliates about sending a reporter to Los Angeles to do interviews with the stars of the upcoming fall lineup. And that would have been the year that, like, Desperate Housewives was coming out, and I don't remember all the celebrities that were on the list, but I got picked from the station to do that, and I was stoked. I was so excited. And then probably like a week later, they sent out a retraction email saying we only meant to send that to our top 10 affiliates or whatever it was. And WSIL, the market at the time, I think we were like number 78 or 79. So that opportunity was gone. Today, if I had an opportunity with the podcast, I do interview wrestlers. If I had a chance to interview someone, I mean, I think Vince McMahon is at the top of every wrestling journalist or wrestling podcaster's list. I'd also put Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ric Flair, The Rock. Those are some of my favorites that I would love to have had an opportunity, or have an opportunity, to interview. I know that's not necessarily news story. I think Vince McMahon, though, has made enough news here lately that that could quantify as a news story. So that would be my picks. What would you like to market if you could? When I worked at Idea Creative Marketing, we had several different clients, several different types of businesses, banks, healthcare, education, apparel, those types of clients. And so it was a great mixture of different things. At the college, obviously, I market the college and education and the opportunities that are involved through Shawnee Community College. I would say that if I were out, I like the underdog. I would love to help small businesses that maybe don't have a marketing person or don't have the knowledge or the experience of marketing. And I, again, I'm learning every day. I'm going to webinars, and I'm going to conferences, and I'm learning and absorbing information about the industry, because it is ever changing, especially in this internet age. And now with artificial intelligence, there's so much going on and so many changes happening. But I'd love to help the underdog. I've always joked that I'm going to open a brewery just so I can make cool can artwork and market it. I can't brew beer worth a crap at this point in my life, but just to have that opportunity to help others kind of build up and, you know, because obviously the easy pick would be WWE or Disney or Nike or, you know, some established brand. But I think going in there and helping that underdog, if you will, develop and grow their business and become a bigger, better, you know, the burger stuff. I love doing that. I love going to, you know, I don't, and there's a burger question coming up a little later. I've only done, I think, two chain restaurants out of the 55 or so that I've recorded so far. Everything else has been like either mom and pop or, you know, a locally owned business. And I do that to, because I like getting the craft burgers from different places, different toppings, and that kind of thing. So, in a small way, because I don't bury or crap all over anybody's burger that I, even the bad ones, and there's only really been one that I can remember. I never flat out said this is bad. I always try to find a positive spin and put it out there. So, part of me feels like, yeah, I'm trying to help even these smaller businesses or smaller restaurants be seen and heard, just through, you know, maybe the couple thousand people that see an episode of the Hunsberger Chronicles. What beer would you drink if you only had one to drink for a year? I wasn't sure if Ken meant what kind of beer or what specific beer he was talking about. I love, especially in the summertime, I love sour beers. They're lighter. I've always been a fan of the more of the fruited beers as well. But sours have been something I've really, in the last couple of years, have really, really enjoyed the most. I don't have a specific favorite sour. That's the type of beer that I like. If I'm picking a favorite beer, Heavy Riff's Love Gun, it's a cream ale. It's one of my favorite beers. But again, it's kind of like with the hamburger thing. You know, with the beers, I find stuff that I like, but I also want to try something different, something new. I have the Untappd app. I think I'm up to beer number 994 original beers. I've had more than that through the years, but just since having Untappd since 2016, I'm up to beer number 994. And I, again, like experiencing and trying those different beers and keeping track of it, knowing kind of what I like and what I don't like. I've grown to like IPAs as well, but, you know, a specific one. Yingling's Hershey chocolate one, I enjoy that a lot too. Yingling itself is fine. It's a good go-to for if you are, you know, easing into the craft beer world, if you will, if you don't like IPAs or don't like sours. That's the basic, it's not basic, it's the Yingling, the original Yingling, I guess, because they have several iterations now of that as well. But if I had to pick one of the Yingling brands, it would be the collaboration with Hershey's. How many burger patties are too many on a burger? I would say any more than three, it's way too messy. And I've had double patties before, and it depends, I guess, if it's a smash patty or not. I've seen some places that do six or seven stacks. Max Local Eats in St. Louis, where I did a burger, Hunsberger Chronicles from last summer. I would like to go back. They have a big stack one that I would like to try just for the visual. Probably the biggest burger I've had so far. I had one at Ned's Shed that had a big stack of pulled pork on it, so that made it bigger that way. But then the Andre the Giant burger that I had at Back to the 80s Cafe in Las Vegas, that was a huge burger too. And the bigger the burger and the more buns and stuff, obviously you're looking at a bigger mess. So visually, it's wow. But then when you try to eat it, it tends to make a mess. So I would probably tend to go less, no more than three. What kid caused you the most gray hairs? And you can see I have a lot. I don't think it's from my, you know, I would say that for 95% of their lives, my kids have been stellar. They've been good. As they're turning into adults now, they're telling us things that they did that we didn't know about. I mean, some of the things that we did know about stressed us out at the time, and now hearing some of the stuff they did, which I guess we all, I was not nearly as adventurous as they were as teenagers. But if I had to pick a kid, and he knows this, it'd be our middle son Mason. There was a patch there in high school that I thought my wife and I were gonna kill him. But to my wife's credit, she was a warrior with him, and you know, that tough love, and he came out of it perfectly fine, and is doing well now. But there was a little bit of time there that I was like, oh, this is not what I signed up for with parenting. But I think that, you know, all kids are different, and you're going to hit those rough patches, and it's how you react to those that I think impacts and shapes them then for the rest of their lives. So if you're having a tough time with a kid right now, just know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and most of the time they see that, and they figure that out as well. We were fortunate with the three of ours that was the case, but I know not every story has a happy ending, but I'm proud to say that our story, you know, as they are, our two oldest are in their early to mid 20s now, and our youngest is about to turn 20. So it's, you know, they're adults and they're doing well. So I'm proud of all three of them. And now to my buddy Tyler Heath Hatton. He asks why I haven't done Hunsberger Chronicles from Backyard Burger, which I think is a chain, but it's kind of a smaller chain. There's a Backyard Burger in Marion, Illinois, which I've been to before I started doing the Hunsberger Chronicles. There's not a good reason why I haven't. I just haven't made it over to do one yet. Like I said earlier, most of the Hunsberger Chronicles are like sit down casual dining restaurants, breweries, places where Backyard Burger is fast food. And I've only done one that I would consider fast food burger, and that was In-N-Out when I was in Las Vegas. So I'm not opposed to doing Backyard Burger, and I probably eventually will. The thing with the rubric, and this is where the nerdiness and all that comes into. I have a rubric that I developed with the help of my wife, where it is very regimented in the scoring. And so, you know, it could be the best burger in the world, but if it's got just a plain bun, it's already down to a 9 because the bun is part of the rubric. And if it's a specialty bun, it gets the whole credit. If it's just a plain bun, it gets 1 point. And then if it's not a good bun at all, it gets no points. Same thing with the patty, same thing with the toppings. If the toppings aren't fresh, if the appearance, you know, if it, and so I say all that to say it's, I'm following the rubric versus the maybe sometimes the subjective or the, you know, the gut reaction of this is a good burger or this isn't a good burger. For example, I've had a burger before where it's had toppings on it that I don't like. You know, blue cheese. And I don't know if that I had a, but let's just use that as the example. If I had a burger with blue cheese on it, and I try not to order things that I don't like. But for example, here in Nashville, or in, we were actually in Clarksville, we ate at a burger place on the way here, a brewery that had burgers. And I again, I like to try different things on the burgers, so it's not all the same type of burger that I'm reviewing every week, which those drop on Sundays, by the way. And this particular burger had jalapeno and pineapple, which I love pineapple. Jalapenos are okay, but I'm not a big spicy fan. It also had sriracha sauce. Well, I asked the waitress how spicy it was, and she said it's got a kick, you know, but I can put it on the side. And I'm like, oh, didn't even think of that. So yeah, I ordered it on the side. I put a little bit on there after I tried it to make sure that it was not going to be, because I don't want to ruin the experience. But because, and I'm saying all this to say, because of the rubric, the toppings, for example, are they fresh? Do they taste good? Just because it's spicy, that doesn't mean it's not good, and it wasn't fresh, and it wasn't. So I could not deduct any points, and I wouldn't have because it all was fine. But in that instance, I can't go with my I don't like this versus this wasn't prepared fresh, or it's not a topping that is good. So that's where it kind of gets tricky sometimes. And so far, I've not really run into much with that. But that's a long ass answer to say why I haven't gone to Backyard Burger yet. But Tyler, I will make a trip to Marion, make a trip like it's more than 10 or 15 minutes away from the house. But anyway, I will do a burger review at Backyard Burger before it's all said and done. If you had to be alone in a room for 1 year and could only pick three movies to watch the whole time, what would they be? I thought of a more politically incorrect answer to this question, and I thought I probably shouldn't go there. So you can use your imagination, trying to be funny, but I know that others may be listening to this podcast or exposed to this podcast for the first time that don't get my kind of weird sense of humor. So I kind of went a route of thinking of movies that I like. There's a, I grew up in the 80s, so there's a ton of movies from the 80s that I would instantly say are my favorites. But I kind of went with the looking at this as more of a, as I get older, I find, and there's a question about music that will fit into this category as well. Those movies, those TV shows, wrestling matches, music specifically, it's not necessarily how much I like those particular songs or movies or whatever, but it's how I felt at the time. It's how they made me feel, or where my life was, how I was feeling at that time. And I go back now in my memories, and I think of those times where a song comes on and it's like it elicits that memory of childhood or of high school or college or wedding day or whatever the case may be. And so that's where I went with my answers on this. So again, another long-winded response, but I got to put my glasses on because I can't see what I wrote. So I did pick Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's a classic. It is again one of my all-time favorite movies, and there wasn't necessarily a specific feeling that is elicited from this movie. It's just one of those that I've watched so many times that I just love it. Number two I picked is the animated version of Aladdin. My wife and I had been dating a few months when Aladdin came out, and it was the first Disney movie that we saw together at the movie theater. It was right after, I think it was Black Friday on Thanksgiving that year, 1992. I loved that movie. It still holds up as one of my favorite Disney films. That and The Lion King are two of my favorites, the animated versions. And so I just go back to that time of when Aladdin came out. And then, of course, we started collecting all of the V. This is, 92. So when the VHSs of all the Disney movies started coming out, we were collecting those as well. And so, yeah, Aladdin has always kind of been a sentimental, or it's been a favorite, not just a sentimental favorite. And then the last one I'm picking is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the second one of that. When my oldest son, Ethan, was 7, my wife started reading the Harry Potter books to him, and then we got addicted. And so we kind of did a rule of we got to finish the book and then we'll watch the movie. And then we eventually got to the point where we were caught up. And I don't read, I'm not a reader, I don't read for pleasure at all. And I read all of the Harry Potter books at that time. And we reached the point where we were caught up with the books and the movies. So when they were releasing them in the theaters, we would go and see them in the theaters. The kids would get dressed up. Brooke and Mason, our other two kids, liked Harry Potter, but they didn't embrace it like Ethan did. Ethan was Harry Potter every year for Halloween, I think, when he was a kid, or just about every year. And so we, as a family, the five of us, that was kind of our kind. We would we talked about Harry Potter, we read Harry Potter, we went to the movies and saw Harry Potter. And so that last one where we were on this family journey together, if you will, even all kind of separately, and not, Mason never read all the books, but got into the movies as well, not as much as Ethan did, but Brooke got into it as well for a while. We went to Universal Studios, we rode the Harry Potter rides, they got the wands, they did we did the whole thing. And so for me, that was kind of that family bonding, even through the movie. And so I think of that time. And of course, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's just one of those times. And I look back and I'm like, this was a good time in our lives. And we enjoyed the film franchise and the books as well. So. Then Tyler goes on to what three songs. I went back and forth on this because there's a lot of music and there's a lot of I think the memories that are elicited by music are stronger for me than movies. But I did pick Change the World by Eric Clapton. That was my wife and I's wedding song, the first song that was played when we did our first dance. This one is just more of a 80s throwback. I always tell people it's one of my, if not my favorite song, and it's called Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. I don't know why. It's just one of those songs that caught me at a time, and I've always just kind of had it burned into my brain. And then I really debated on this last one. My music taste, I'm more pop 80s kind of stuff. So, I'm not going to pick any country or rap or heavy metal or any of that kind of stuff. I'm a pop guy through and through. And so I picked Easy Lover by Phil Collins and Philip Bailey. I don't know what it is about that song, but I love listening to it. I know it was part of the first WrestleMania. That has nothing to do with my love of this song, but again, it's that kind of that time period growing up and just remembering the 80s and just kind of that nostalgia. So those are my three songs and my three movies that I picked. Tyler's also going on because I was not going to do wrestling podcasts, but it is a wrestling podcast at heart, and he and I are connected through wrestling. What is your favorite story or time from Stride Pro Wrestling? It can't be of you wrestling. Nobody needs to remember that. So again, if you're new to the show, Stride Pro Wrestling was around from 2016 until really about 2024 here in Southern, or not here, here, but in Southern Illinois. It was a company that Tyler created, started. I was fortunate enough to be asked to do the announcing. I did some of the social media work, some of the promotion stuff with the company for pretty much the entire time. And then along the way, because I had wrestled one match previously in All American Pro Wrestling, Tyler brought me in to some of the stories and ended up wrestling a handful of matches along the way, which I loved. And I believe that was, the wrestling part of it for me. I was always nervous and worried about getting in there. But when he asks, not involving me wrestling, because those were some fun times. Because as a kid, I never imagined that that would happen. But now as a 52-year-old looking back on it, I'm like, I've had a hell of a run and a hell of a ride from ring announcing, doing commentary, and having those handful of matches. I really loved the early days of Stride and being in the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion. It was a unique venue, but we would get crowds in there, and there was just an energy that I can't really explain. And then, of course, we got popular. The Illinois, if you're from Southern Illinois area, even now still today, that mall is being renovated, and it's owned by Oasis Sports and Black Diamond, and they're putting stuff in there, but it has not been a functioning mall. We got, they were kicking everybody out there at the end. I think we did our last show at the mall in 2018. And so That's 7 years and they still aren't like open back up. But anyway, we did monthly shows at the mall, and it was nice having a place where we were set up, and if guys wanted to go in and work out and do their thing, they could do that. We got moved around a few times in the mall, but being there, it was just a cool experience. Specifically, something that stands out to me was the obviously the first night where Axe Allworld was crowned champion, but then going in and doing the Buried Alive match with Red Daniels and Chris Hargis. You know, that was their brainchild. They came out, Dan built this set. That was a phenomenal night. It was a lot of fun, something I'll never forget. And just again, the crowds and the kids and seeing their reactions, because if you're not a wrestling fan, this part, fast forward through this part. You know, WWE now, especially now, is so expensive, and they're cutting out their touring. They're not going and bringing shows. You know, they used to come to Carbondale. They would come to Cape Girardeau, St. Louis. You know, you could drive and see a show, and you're going to lay down some cash. AEW, the other big wrestling company out there, doesn't tour like that. You know, they do TV stuff, but they're not on the road for house shows. So giving fans an opportunity to see wrestling, and it's independent wrestling. And yeah, they're not, you know, the guys and gals that are in there doing this are not the next Randy Orton or the next John Cena or anything like that. Or, you know, appearance-wise, you know, they look like men and women that you work with in your communities. You see out, you know, there are exceptions to that rule, but by and large, independent wrestling is made up of guys and women who want to wrestle. And so they're getting that opportunity. So that's what I'm getting to the answer. That's what I love too, is my favorite memory is the opportunities that were given to so many people, not just the wrestlers, not just the ring announcer, not just the general manager, or everybody got to be a part of the show, but those kids and those adults that came and supported and cheered and reacted as if CM Punk or Randy Orton or Hulk Hogan were coming out to the ring. And that to me was the magic of not just Stride Pro Wrestling, but I was involved with that. And so being a part of that and then taking the show on the road, going to schools, going to finally getting our own place in Carterville where we had a building, it was a very tight space. That's what I liked the mall better. It was more space, obviously. But just giving those folks here in our region an opportunity to see wrestling and experience it up close and personal and touch, clap those hands, get involved sometimes in the show, stick around and take pictures and get autographs and that kind of stuff. That to me was the magic of Stride. And again, I know it's not just Stride that does that, but I was a part of that, and being able to have help facilitate some of those opportunities was always fun and special to me. So those are some of my favorite memories and moments. Again, it's how you feel in that moment. And now I'll go back to 2019 when Tyler and I did, and I know you said don't talk about me, but getting that opportunity to win the tag team titles, no one expected it. My friend Chad flew in from California for that. I didn't tell him what was going to happen. My parents came down. Our friend group, who really nobody likes wrestling, but they came out to support me. I had just left WSIL. I was embarking on this new career. I was probably the happiest I had been in my entire adult life, in that summer of 2019, and then capping it off, you know, ending the summer with that tag team title run. It meant a lot to me, and I know I get sappy and talk about it sometimes, but I mean, it meant a lot to me, and I thank Tyler for that, and I thank the fans for coming out and supporting that, and not booing it through the building, and or in this case, we were at the ballpark, and they embraced it, and so I'm grateful for that too. So, Tyler also asks, "What is my favorite restaurant?" You know, I love going to, and we don't go there often, but Seasoning Bistro in Marion. They used to be in Benton. They have relocated to Marion. I love going there. They have great burgers. They have great steaks. I'm not a big steak eater, but I really do enjoy the filet mignon at Seasoning Bistro. So I would probably pick that as my favorite Southern Illinois restaurant. For pizza, it's got to be Quattro's, not just because my kids work there, but I do love Quattro's pizza. Loved it long before they started working there. And then for, like a style of food, I'm never going to turn down an evening at a Mexican restaurant. So those are some of my favorites that come to mind immediately. Tyler's last question: describe you and Lisa's first date, and if you thought that you would get a second one, and what date did you wear that dress with the tank top, the bra top? I don't know what he's talking about on that second part of the question, unless it's the Little Mermaid picture that I've posted on social media where I'm dressed like the Little Mermaid. That wasn't a date. That was for a fraternity slash sorority event where I dressed up like the Little Mermaid. But Tyler, if you're talking about something else, let me know. Our first date. So, backstory. Freshman year of college. Towards the end of the year, it was second semester, and that's when I met my wife, was in January of 92. My floor, I lived in the guys' dorm at SEMO, Southeast Missouri State University. She lived in the girls' dorm. Towers East, I lived in Towers West. As a result, we had brother-sister floors, and six West, where I lived, and eight East, where she lived, were brother-sister floors. And I was the president of my floor, and I had organized. Back then, we played spades. Spades was a popular game to play. So I organized a spades tournament with one guy paired with one girl, and that was your partner for those who wanted to participate. And there was a nice turnout, and ended up, I didn't meet my wife. That I met her through the floor, but she wasn't my partner or anything. But anyway, we became fast friends and talked a lot, and I ended up developing a bit of a crush and wanted to ask her out. And she ended up eventually, we hung out and I finally got up the nerve to ask her out on a date. It was a double date because I didn't have a car at the time. She did, but my friend Bob and a girl, another girl from the floor, they weren't dating, but they went as our backups, if you will. Her name was Gina. And then Bob, for whatever reason, we went to the dollar show. This was back in the day when you could go to the movies for a dollar. We went to the dollar show and saw My Cousin Vinny. She didn't like it. I liked it. And then we went to Burger King after that. So, yeah, sparing no expense. Did I think I was going to get a second date as a result of that? No, I didn't. But, we talked. And again, we were friends. When you're in college, you're around each other all the time, so there's that way to bond. And then we did go, I guess, on a second date the week after that. Back then, Pi Kappa Alpha, the Pikes, had a lodge off campus where it was the party place to go. And so we went there, and then I remember going to Taco Bell after that. Again, these cheap dates. I'm a college kid. I didn't have a job at the time, so. But yeah, and then it was literally, that was the last week of school. And so we ended up, a group of us went to the Lake of the Ozarks and hung out that first week of summer vacation. And then we just developed and her parents lived probably about 30 minutes from where my parents lived. So we talked, this was before cell phones and texting and all that. But we talked pretty much every day. We would go out on dates and go to the movies. Usually that was that summer there, a lot of movies. We'd go to the lake. Those were the kinds of things that we were doing, go out to dinner and then that kind of stuff. So I would say as things kind of progressed through and we moved back to Cape for the next semester and stuff, and we were exclusively dating and boyfriend and girlfriend, if you will, and have been together ever since. So Yeah, 33 years. That first date, cheap date, but it worked. And I'm here today, sitting in a hotel room waiting for her to come up for lunch and go spend some time in Nashville and then move our way back to Southern Illinois. So that is the final question. And I appreciate everyone who did ask. And hopefully, we'll get more participation, more questions in the future. Thank you for listening and/or watching to this week's episode. We'll be back with more wrestling talk next week. We will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.